And welcome back to What Would Father Say? Tom McNew again here with Father John Gisaldo. Thanks, Father, for coming back.
My pleasure.
All right.
My pleasure.
We are into the fifth commandment. We scratched the first part of the layers of the fifth commandment last week. And if you missed that, we'll get the podcast, the episodes will be up on our website. Just pay attention to our website, armorofgodradio.com. Underneath the schedule tab, and you'll see the episodes listed in there. So, Father, last week we kind of ended with the whole death penalty conversation, which and you talked a little bit about abortion, but that then leads to what is unfortunately becoming in vogue, euthanasia.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's kind of that seems to be like a good natural spot for us to pick up. Folks, again, for those of you that are following along in your catechism, we're on paragraph 2276 or page 549. That's the green-covered catechism. For those of you that have a different colored catechism, your page numbers may be different, but the paragraph numbers
They might have the blue one.
The blue one is the more current one. So, 2276.
Once again, the church has always said that you never take the life of an innocent person. That's murder. And that the weakest among us is supposed to have the most laws. I always tell people when a child is born, civil law wraps them in all kinds of laws.
Mm-hmm.
They're surrounded by laws. But when they're 6 inches under the birth canal, they have almost no protection. Now, everybody's pretty much aware of the church's teaching that human life must be absolutely protected from the moment of conception. That's just what the church teaches, and that even human embryos and abortion cannot. And let me quote something. You shall not kill the embryo or by abortion shall not cause the newborn baby to perish. That's not in the catechism. That's the Didache that was written in the year 100.
Yeah.
The church has always been said this was radical about going, especially when the Greeks would throw and the Romans would throw babies, and then they would go pick them up and raise them. Having said that, what is euthanasia? That's not talking about young people who live in Asia.
No.
What is it?
That's not youth in Asia.
Yeah, no.
We're talking euthanasia.
Because they even use this term to put down, you know, animals. We euthanize them. No, you're putting them down. You're killing them. But we don't do that to people. We do that to dogs and to cats and to mice. Those whose lives are diminished or weakened deserve special respect. They deserve more laws. Sick or handicapped persons should be helped to lead lives as normal as possible. 2277, whenever its motive and means, direct euthanasia consists of putting an end to the lives of the handicapped, sick, or dying person, it is morally unacceptable. Once again, it is sometimes understandable, but if you want to look where this is being done, on the right and left coast and in Scandinavia, and even in Canada, when people are said to have unreasonable pain, whatever that means, and especially the elderly now, the elderly are being attacked and being made to feel guilty, especially in Scandinavia. You don't want to be a burden to your kids.
Yeah.
And they help them. They euthanize them. They help them kill themselves. Where the opposite is what the Christians are asked to do, to give them more protection, to see them as Christ himself, because they are the weakest among us. When Jesus says, when you do for the least among us, least among you, you do it for me. Mm. And so when people are, like in other countries, when people who have Down syndrome, they're always attacked. These are the most loving humans on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do it for selfish reasons. We do it because it makes our lives comfortable.
Yeah.
I know a couple in Waco that they gave birth to a daughter and she was given some kind of vaccine and it just fried her brain.
Mm.
And so she can crunch her teeth, but she has no limbs. I mean, she has limbs, but she can't control her limbs. And she has to be fed a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask the family, you guys are so brave. You guys are so... And people say, no, she is a gift.
Yeah.
She's a blessing to us. Where people will tell them, wouldn't it have been better just to euthanize her.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been dead or just to let her die. And the mother, I won't say any names, the mother always says to them, I'm sure glad she wasn't born into your family.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad because she is a blessing to us.
You spoke about Scandinavia, and I remember seeing a video just several years ago where some health minister, some member of the government was with the, in front of a chalkboard with a young man who was suffering from Down syndrome and asked him to do some not overly complicated mathematical problem, algebra or something.
Oh, yeah.
And the poor kid had no idea, couldn't solve it. It was staged. But then later there was a journalist who asked that same health minister or whatever to diagram a sentence in English,
they used to do back in the day.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like we all grew up with the prepositional phrase and all that stuff. And he had no idea. And so this journalist threw it right back the same language. Well, what value do you have to our society if you can't diagram? And he tried to make, no one diagrams sentences anymore. And she says, how many people are doing algebra at the grocery store?
We have phones. We have calculators.
Right, exactly.
Can you do compound interest? I don't know how to do that anymore.
And it just really struck me that the decisions or these arguments.
Yeah, they're bad.
And they're all, houses of cards, frankly. Yeah. But again, it gets kind of get back to what we talked about last week with the anecdotal evidence.
And putting people's value on what they can do for us.
Yeah.
The human being is who that person is. It's one of us. It's a human being. And only Judeo-Christianity has a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
Because if we're not, then why not walk into a place where, in San Marcos there's a place where they treat a lot of people who have head injuries.
Mm.
And these people are totally, why don't you just walk in there and shoot them all?
Yeah.
Because they don't do anybody any
good. Yeah.
Utilitarianism, no, these people are a blessing. They give us a chance to be generous, to sacrifice and see Christ in them. Because, when you and I are older, and that's not too many years from now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've told my nieces and nephews, I can't wait till they change my diapers.
Payback.
I don't feel bad at all.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is your chance. Because that was the most profound thing I ever saw. My sister changed my grandma's diapers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want, helping my grandma go to the bathroom. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But wow, this person gave me life.
Yeah.
This person gave the life of my mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that came from this body.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a common human mistake to assume that we know better, assume that God made a mistake, which we know is impossible.
And that's opens up whole other fields of philosophy and theology, because the world said suffering is to be gotten rid of, has no meaning. We say, no, wait a minute. And this comes up in Scandinavia. There are people there now, when you have an unreasonable amount of pain to deal with, then you can put yourself down. Well, there is a woman who whose husband died and her son died. And she's like, I'm depressed. And she applied and they put her down because she had all this anguish and mourning and she was depressed. And there are teenagers out here that are suicidally depressed.
Yeah.
Do we put them down? Or do we put them out of their misery?
Yeah.
Unreasonable pain. Well, wait a minute. Who gets to decide?
Yeah.
People live with pain. The only answer to suffering is the cross.
Yeah.
God himself endured terrible pain and invites us to participate in that discomfort for the salvation of the world. Only Christianity gives that an answer.
Yeah.
Because without it, pain is, I don't want to be discomforted.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. Give me food now. I mean, it's pagan, so.
It is. So speaking of suicide, if we turn the page in our catechism, that's like the next little topic that the church addresses here. And I think this is one for us that Until you have experienced it, I think it's easy for people to go, oh yeah, suicide's bad. And then I think where a lot of us struggle is when we have someone, God forbid, in our family or a close friend or something like that, that does take their own life, regardless of the mechanism.
Yeah, so how do we approach this? Well, suicide, it's like infanticide, homicide, genocide. It means you're killing somebody.
Yep.
And it says 2280, everyone is responsible for the life God before God who has given it to him. So it's a gift from God. But it is not okay. It is intrinsically immoral and intrinsically sinful. Whether it's you're fully culpable of a mortal sin, which is possible, as it says here, suicide contradicts the natural inclination of the human being and is gravely contrary to just love. So I'll give you a story. At my old school I had my own school, and one of our teachers took his own life.
Mm.
He was a teacher of hundreds of kids, so that scandalized them. So navigating that.
You were in what grade again?
He was in what grade?
No,
I had my own school.
Oh.
I was the head of school.
All right. Okay, sorry.
And a young man took his own life who was one of our teachers.
Oh, okay.
And he was depressed. He was very vocal about it, but he was married and had 5 kids. Mm. And it gets really bad because he took his own life. And then the next day, his wife had a child.
Oh.
So it gets worse. But I remember just being able to go back to with my teachers, because it was a tough time to be able to minister to everybody.
Sure.
And I said, go to 2283. We should not despair of the eternal salvation of persons who have taken their lives. But ways known to him, God alone, God combined the opportunity for salutary repentance. The church prays for persons who have taken their own lives. So not all hope is gone. We never say that person killed himself, he's in hell.
Yeah.
We never say that. However, it has to be said that this is not okay. Remember telling the kids, what your teacher did was not okay. He should have come to us for help. We should have reached him out for him to help. Obviously, he was hurting. If you guys are ever hurting like this, make sure you tell someone or seek out help, because your life is not your own. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. And they knew he was married. Yeah. They knew he had children. And what he did was not okay. Is he in hell? We're going to pray. No, we pray that God has mercy on him. But this is not okay, because we don't want to encourage that.
Right.
You don't want to encourage that.
I know one of the problems that exists, especially in our military, is we have a tremendous amount of veterans that have seen and suffered a great deal.
PTSD.
And I know that in my military career, there were several instances where we had a young soldier who would take his or her life, and there would be, for lack of a better term, copycats and they would be immediate. We would have a soldier, Unit X, that would kill himself, and then within days there would be another, same exact manner.
Oh wow.
And I think that's it kind of gets to what you're talking about, is we have to pray for those souls that they do receive God's mercy. But I think there's another aspect of this problem, and maybe getting a little bit off of the whole fifth commandment here for just a moment, but of praying for and caring for our brothers and sisters, and recognizing that the scandal associated to suicide and it's like all sin, really, but especially suicide, I think, tends to deeply impact the entire community.
Yeah, and so to remember that the devil loves suicide.
Yeah.
It takes people's life, puts their souls in danger, but also it scandalizes the entire family, makes them lose hope.
Yeah.
Makes them doubt God's existence. You know, when we talk about in demonology, what does the devil want when he possesses a person? He wants them to take his life.
Mm-hmm.
They want, because they hate life. They hate they have bodies. And it scandalizes and takes the hope away from everybody. When a parent has a child who takes their own life, That's a type of grieving that is beyond imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the first time when I was at my first church, St. Helens, when a couple came and sat down, and they said, our son took his own life. Mm-hmm. And just to experience that unbelievable grief, anger, sadness, disappointment, hopelessness. Because when somebody dies by natural causes, we're wired for that.
Yeah.
We're wired for that. We're not wired to lose our own children, and we are not wired for them to take their own lives. Because now we're like, well, why did God allow this to happen?
Yeah.
Why did God allow this to happen? Now, let's go back. You know, when someone takes their own life, this is from 2282, grave psychological disturbances, anguish, or grave fear of hardship, suffering, or torture can diminish the responsibility of one committing suicide. That can diminish it. However, when someone commits suicide so that you can kill someone else,
yeah,
like suicide bombers, you know, kamikazes,
mm-hmm,
and people that take their own lives to get back at someone,
mm-hmm,
or to defile the altar. You know, remember we had a church where someone,
yeah,
went up on the altar and just to get back at God and to get back at the church, I know what I'll do, I'll take, mm-hmm, my own life. That is a terrible mortal sin. It brings scandal, and it's defilement,
mm-hmm,
sacrilege. You can commit sacrilege. Yeah. I'll show them. I'll take out of hate.
Yeah,
out of hate to walk into a, you know, into a building, and say I hate all of you, and willing, because you know who is it? It's a Secret Service agent say this. If someone's willing to die to kill you, that's very difficult to stop.
That's right.
You can have the best security in the world, but if they're willing, because most people want to save their lives,
mm-hmm,
but if you're fanatical enough and full of so much hate and rage,
that's a different level.
That's a whole different level. I think sometimes even the devil says, why do you send these to me? come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole other level of satanic,
yeah,
stuff. But suicide is tough because it hurts, yeah, everyone and is scarred for a long,
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Folks, if you're just now tuning in, we appreciate you carving some time out of your schedule to tune in here to What Would Father Say? And if you missed the first part or you're running errands and you're going to miss the second part, you can always tune in again on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. We'll do an encore presentation of today's episode, and we appreciate everybody taking some time in joining us in this catechetical conversation here. So really kind of the second half, Father, to get back to the fifth commandment, to the second half, if you will, of the catechism deals in here with, again, on page 551, starting with 2284. We kind of hit on the scandal piece, but this is the reason, I think, behind the why, or, you know, the respect for the dignity of persons.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of where the catechism goes down and talks about why. And this, too, opens another 555-gallon drum,
yeah,
of issues.
Yeah.
When you start talking about the respect for health. And
when is it okay to let grandma go?
Yep.
Turn off the machine. And our church has always worked this out in extraordinary and ordinary forms of care. When is it okay to take some? We never directly kill anyone. Mm-hmm. But on occasion, especially with grandma and grandpa, you know, if they deserve ordinary care, food, water, air. But the breath of, you know, a breathing machine, mm-hmm, is considered extraordinary. If your body can't breathe on its own, and it's breathing for you. By the same token, if a person whose body is shutting down and they no longer can process food or water, you can stop that. And they will die.
Mm-hmm.
They will die. But if you don't do that, you give them food and water, they'll drown in their own liquids.
Yeah.
But the church and even modern science has recognized mommy and daddy or mama or your brother, his body is starting to shut down. And what is that? It's a natural part of dying. We can make them comfortable. You can give them painkillers. You can give them lots of – they don't have to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would even say if grandma asked for a joint, go ahead and give it to her. I mean, I'm ready to go there. She's dying. Give her what? Because those are drugs are meant to comfort us, but not to kill us.
Right.
I learned that one way when I was in an emergency room when I was a teenager. I had my nose cauterized because it wouldn't stop bleeding.
Mm.
The emergency room doctor put cocaine in my nose. I go, what? He goes, well, that's what that's for. It's the abuse of the drug.
Yeah.
But also, we don't do mercy killings, as we said.
Right.
You know, we let nature and God prayerfully and discernly when we're going to let them go. So
that's a pretty, though, it's not, rather, a fine line. Mm. It's very clear. The church is teaching on this respect for health, especially, as you mentioned, you know, when the people are in a situation where they're attached to a machine and the family is asked to make a decision about, you know, do we unplug the machine?
Yeah.
Do we take mom, dad, whatever, off of this life support system?
Yeah. And who makes that decision?
And who makes that decision?
Prayerfully with the church and, you know, with the doctors. Hey, if there's hope, there's a well-founded hope. But if there's hope, we try to, hopefully they can come back. You know, they can get well. But if there's not a well-founded hope and their body is especially not processing food and water, then you have to make, how long are you going to process this out?
And I think this is, it's important for all of us to understand the psychology of our doctors. Because
you just open up a can of worms.
Yeah, I know I did.
And the psychology and of the insurance companies.
Right, right. I mean, so we are fortunate in this day and age where most of us are carrying around small computers in our pockets, and you can quickly find Catholic resources that will tell you and provide you help and information and resources. But I think about my father passed away about 6 years ago after a long battle with a couple of strokes and Parkinson's as a result of exposure to Agent Orange. In the last couple years of his life, you know, his quality of life, using air quotes, was not what it was in the decade before.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that it would have been real easy to, you know, not to go back to the euthanasia thing, but it would have been real easy to, you know, just have him off himself or whatever.
Oh, yes. Easy on us.
We were, right. We were fortunate enough that we had a medical community that was very careful in making sure that they knew what we knew was the reality of his prognosis. Mm-hmm. And so my mom and dad rewrote my dad's will in the last couple years before he died, mm-hmm. with the help of the church and the help of Catholic lawyers and Catholic doctors. Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea of a medical medical advice when it comes to making those end of life decisions, I think is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
And I would invite everybody, if you know, to do some research. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of resources out there, but don't just blanket sign some document that a doctor at a medical facility. I'm not going to name any names or any medical facilities, but there are places right here in our central Texas that you go into the doctor's office or you go into the hospital and they're going to say, sign this document. And that document is a release that the doctors can decide whether or not your life is worth saving. Not the family, not the church, but the doctors. And if you have a doctor who is hell-bent on minimal amount of work and making his life as easy as possible, he's going to turn off that machine. He's not going to tell you two words about it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent.
No problem.
But and we are unfortunately going to run out of time here probably before we get to the rest.
How much time we got?
We got about 3 minutes left.
Oh, because I wanted to get to like respect for not respect for bodily integrity, because this is the hot issue.
And I absolutely want to get into that. We're gonna have to save that for
next time,
because not just the bodily integrity, but the very next page, respect for the dead, also is another can of worms.
Ooh, yeah, because you got grandma up on the on the shelf.
Gosh, yeah,
we deal with that here all the time. Well,
we will have to save this. We'll have part three of the fifth commandment.
Yes.
Next week. So we invite everybody to tune in. And again, folks, if you don't own a catechism, if there's not a catechism in your house, you give me a call, 254-371-7566. Send me an email, tom@armorofgodradio.com. I will personally make sure that you have a catechism in your house, because in my mind, I don't know how you can understand all the different aspects of our church and our faith without a catechism to help you, to give you some of these answers, you know, to make sure that you are managing all the different aspects of our life properly. So I'm going to get off my soapbox there. Father, thanks again for joining us.
I enjoyed it.
And would you leave us with another blessing, please?
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
All right, folks, tune in next week. We will strive to finish the fifth commandment and move on, because there's a lot here to unpack, I recognize. Tune in next week, and remember to put on the armor of God.